Welcome back, everybody. It's your time to ed up on the EdUp Experience Podcast, where we make education your business, making education your business here at Ellucian Live 2024 for a bunch of times. Done a bunch of podcasts today with some amazing leaders in and around higher education, but I will tell you, and I mean this sincerely, this will be the most interesting episode of our time here. Why? Because we have real live warm-blooded students in front of us, which, you know, typically it's a bunch of technology leaders, which are super boring. Oh, no, they're not that boring. No. But we talk technology. We talk about what's happening to higher ed in its systems. And very rarely do we get a group of students in front of us to really give us your perspective on education, relevance, the cost of a degree, why you chose the major you chose, probably taking all the questions away from my guest host, but I'm going to bring him in here now. Ladies and gentlemen, he's Josh Sasson. He is the Chief Information Security Officer at Ellucian. Josh.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
You're back again for a second time. Couldn't get enough.
Second time, and we're trying to go for the record. I don't know what the record is, but I'm going to try and beat it.
I'm not sure what the record is either. Maybe you've already beating it right now.
Probably not.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens. So what we're going to do is go around to each of you guys. I mean, we have a crowd that's waiting to hear from you. So you're going to give us your name, your institution, and your major. And we'll start here.
All right, my name's Alexis Obang. I go to UTSA, University of Texas at San Antonio, and I am a computer science major.
All right.
Hello, everyone. My name is Christian Kristovich, also at UTSA, and I am a computer science major.
And?
Yep, I'm Natalie Rankin, currently at St. Mary's University, a graduate student studying cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity, computer science?
Computer science,
cybersecurity. It's a lot of science and security and all of that. So first question, the most obvious one, and we'll start from right to left this time with you, Natalie. Why did you choose cybersecurity? Why did you choose the major that you're in? Of all majors, this is a very technical major. What brought you to it?
I've always been fascinated with technology, and I really got into cyber in high school when I had the opportunity to join my school's Cyber Patriot team. Seeing how the technology can be used maliciously inspired me to figure out how to stop that malicious behavior. And I pursued cybersecurity in my university studies for this passion to defend systems and mitigate security risks.
Amazing!
Follow-up question. What is a Cyber Patriot program?
That's sponsored by the Air Force, and it is a program that they offer to K-12 students, specifically high school as well, where you're given these different cyber challenges to solve that allow you to get some hands-on experience with cybersecurity.
I had no idea that existed. That is super cool. All right, over to you, sir.
Personally,
computer science.
Yes,
right?
Computer science. My dad introduced it to me when I was really young, and I always thought it was cool, you know, what he told me people could do with a computer, and then inspired me to do cool stuff with a computer. And like Natalie, I joined my high school Cyber Patriot team, and that really just rocketed me to the next step of the journey.
Interesting. I mean, and so you like what? You like attack systems or learn how to prevent attacks? I mean, is that what it...
The first thing was just sort of the impressive amount of control that a person can have, like on their computer system. And then it was a matter of like, well, I wonder if I can attack. And I was like, well, maybe it's not a good idea.
Yikes!
To do that. So maybe it's not a good idea to do that so much. So maybe learn how to defend is a better choice for me legally.
Yes. Smart move. Alexis, why computer science?
So kind of like the same thing with them. I've always been interested in computers, and then my first year of high school, I joined Cyber Patriot, and even though it ended in COVID, I ended up getting my Security Plus during that same year. So that really like sparked my interest and let me know I had a really good passion for cybersecurity.
Josh, this must be like music to your ears as a Chief Information Security Officer. No, there's a pipeline of talent out there interested in the nerdiness of the awesome nerdiness of protection of data.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I don't even know what to ask next, by the way, so I'm just going to pass it to you.
I mean, there's 600,000 open cybersecurity jobs in the U.S., and we can't fill them. As far as San Antonio goes, you know, let's talk local a little bit. I was not aware of this. Do you want to guess? No, I'm just giving you the answer.
Are you going to ask me a question live on my podcast?
Live on the podcast, yep. Right? If you had to guess where San Antonio ranks as far as concentration of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S.? You know, 1, 2, 3, 50. Where would you guess?
2.
It's 2. I mean, that's really cool.
So I only know this because I think you told me that earlier today.
I might have. So we started the poll on
Surprise!
That thread. We started the poll on that thread to kind of understand. And, you know, there's, what do we got? We got 9 local higher ed institutions that have cyber programs. And like we've already heard here from each of these folks, they've got some really cool K-12 stuff going on. So you mentioned Cyber Patriot, and there's this other overarching Cyber Texas. I mean, they're just doing some really cool stuff. So I know you kind of touched on it, but does anybody want to go a little bit deeper on just the opportunities that you got, you know, prior to going into higher ed?
Oh, I can definitely speak on that. So Cyber Texas here in San Antonio, they're a great organization that really connects with like the different Cyber Patriot teams here at all the schools. And they host like a Cyber Cup, like the Mayor Cyber Cup, every single year. And it's a whole big event. And at this event, they give away scholarships. They give away internships to like high-placing teams. They've given away even like Microsoft Surface Pros to high-placing teams. So it really does give the incentive to do well, not just nationally, but on a local level.
So explain it like I'm 5 for me, just a little bit.
Explain it like you're explaining it to me.
Yeah, right. So like we're 2 and 3, and I know all 3 of you have been in this, and maybe we'll talk to Natalie on this. Like the competitions, like just kind of walk me through a little bit. Like I know a little bit, but I want to hear from you what you folks were doing there.
Yeah, specifically, one of the activities I had the opportunity to do was you were given a Windows system. And they would ask you to go in and examine the different accounts on the system and maybe remove some user privileges, delete certain accounts, and also go in, check firewall settings and ensure that the system was up to date, check for system updates, kind of essential things that need to be installed and ensured on the computer to make sure it's secure.
How about you, Christian? Anything different?
In the context of Cyber Patriot?
In competitions.
I think... This is before higher education. I think similar to what Natalie said, there was, I worked on the Ubuntu machine, so it wasn't exactly Windows, but there was a process of making sure that all of your systems are up to date. Users aren't administrators that shouldn't be administrators.
Sure.
Removing unwanted software, closing off network ports, stuff like that.
You were banned from the server.
It was a quick one there you picked up, Joe. Good job. Have you continued any of this in higher ed? Any capture the flag type activity? Anything like that anyone can talk about?
I'll take it. Definitely since coming to UTSA, the competitions have skyrocketed.
Epic.
The first one I did was this one called Dr. Boom, which is very different than the normal ones where you were given the source code of a bomb detonation device. And what you had to do is you had to look at the source code and you identified a command injection vulnerability. And then this is the coolest part. This is the coolest part. You get into a virtual machine, you get command injection on the person that's trying to detonate the bomb, and then you compromise their system. And just like,
well, let's start the insanity.
It was so cool. It was so fun. And just as like a little freshman coming to UTSA, it was like, it was everything I needed. It was so cool.
I want to go back to school. I mean, we were programming compilers in VAX assembly. It wasn't exactly as entertaining. So now I'm really jealous. anything else on you know, the opportunities before we kind of move on? We've got some other good topics, I think.
Oh, I can definitely speak to some of the competition experience as well.
Please.
So one of the competitions I did, the first one I did at UTSA, was the Collegiate Penetration Testing Competition. This one was like offensive security. So that's hacking, actually getting into firewalls, breaking into systems. And they also had a very like good simulated like business aspect to it. So we had to sign an NDA. We had to, you know, submit an RFP, had to communicate with the client in a professional manner of speaking, how to give a technical presentation. It really did help like my soft skills, building up all those.
Cool.
Penetration testing is one of the things I know institutions are working on now is in higher ed, is how because we're porous, right? And there's a lot of hacking in higher ed, and penetration testing is one. I think it's more on the basic side of what you all do, is just like, how do you hack something? But it is an interesting part of our industry these days.
I mean, it depends. There's some stuff that goes way more in depth. So I think we're really getting into the details here, but the traditional...
Don't do it because you'll lose me in 2 seconds.
The traditional... the traditional pen test model, I think the return on value and return on investment is going down. So at Ellucian, we actually, it's going to sound like a sales pitch, we've got a hybrid model. So we do the traditional pen test stuff because our customers say we have to and their auditors say that we have to. But we have a hybrid model where we work with HackerOne. So we do pen tests that are basically paid if you find something, and then the amount of payment that a professional or an amateur hacker can earn grows depending on how serious the issue is. So it's crowdsourced.
I won't make any money.
It's kind of cool. Yeah. All right, the three of you, let's do a little self-promotion, because this podcast is going to become part of your LinkedIn resume someday, right?
It should be,
right? So I know you've all worked on various projects. So we'll start with Alexis and we'll work across. Tell me about a project that you've worked on, and tell the crowd that some point in time is going to listen to this as part of your interview for your next job. What have you worked on that you thought was cool?
So in one of my research labs that I'm in, I am actually like a team lead for like some of the undergraduates. And so we started on making a mock enterprise network. So it has like users, it has critical infrastructure as well, because those are always fun to mess with. So we can do different training on how to detect and defend against different attacks.
Cool. All right, let's move on to Christian.
Like Alexis, I've moved on to, or I've started doing network administration and like creating network infrastructure as a part of one of the labs on UTSA's campus. But personally, I started working on creating a Linux keylogger that reads keyboard events and pipes them to a file. Sorry about that. And that's been pretty cool. It's been
neat,
pretty fun.
Neat. Yeah. All right, let's go to Natalie.
Yep, I'm actively working on a network intrusion detection system. And it's so exciting to me because it's specifically made for a personal computer. And there are already detection systems like Snort and Siricata out there. But what's so exciting to me about the one I'm making is that it is specifically designed for someone's own personal computer activity. So it's more tailored to that experience and can provide a better security option for them.
Awesome. So you each told a story. And when I talk to students earlier in the career and then, you know, as they move on, I stress the importance of storytelling. And what's interesting is that these three students here are literally cheating and jumping the line, because tomorrow on the main stage at eLife, they're going to get to open for William Shatner in front of thousands of people. So
nailed it.
That's an extra story they're going to be able to tell.
Kind of cool to be able to be a part of this. You guys are going to have exposure to thousands of leaders across education that are connected to business and industry leaders. Just take advantage of it. Make sure that you update your, you know, if you guys don't have LinkedIn, you should get one. Make sure you attach anything that you do to your LinkedIn profile, because it becomes your digital footprint.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right, Joe. Look, education, obviously the focus of this event. Robert Smith was on main stage yesterday, and he mentioned the importance of and the impact of one person taking the time to educate. And I know when we were talking earlier before this, I said how you're all going to be educators by default. And, you know, as we spoke, I don't think you're going to be educators to your peers like I am, because you and your peers got that level of security awareness as you were growing up. But you're going to have to educate us. And you're going to have to educate me, because I will start to not understand.
In a couple years,
sooner than you think, Joe. And you're going to have to keep doing that. It's going to be your family. It's going to be, you know, all these folks that you're going to have to keep educating. So I think that's interesting that it's not just that you're going to be whatever you're chosen. You know, maybe you'll go into defending. Maybe you'll go into whatever aspect of security. There's so many of them. But you're just going to have to be an educator as well, which is interesting. We're not going to talk about AI, because Christian doesn't want to talk about AI. We actually talked about it earlier, and he said, I don't really want to talk about AI. But one thing, and unless we get too much extra time, we'll circle back to it. But I mentioned earlier there's 600,000 open jobs in cyber, right? What can we do to get students interested? Like, I think that you all were lucky enough to have these opportunities that you took advantage of. But there's just all these other jobs that are not going to be filled. And, you know, while I would love for all of us to literally not have a job tomorrow, it's not going to happen. You're all going to be employed for as long as you want. And literally, I'm going to be working for one of you three at some point in time. But what do you think we can do to, you know, get some people interested in this field? Let's start with Natalie. We'll walk the other way.
Yeah, I think that incorporating more cybersecurity education into the K through 12 classes that are already there for technology in general, kind of as you're showing someone how to use a computer, you might also want to mention don't do these things or avoid these things, kind of just putting it in there so that it's already a part of them and it's kind of instilled in them while they're already using that technology.
Sounds good. Christian?
I think that it can be important to incentivize it just in pop culture. Because there's a lot of that done for other fields. I mean, especially like sports, right, for example. And that's something that's very understandable and something that's easy for kids to attach to. But it's not as easy for kids to attach to being a nerd sitting in front of a computer.
Right? Is it cool or is it uncool?
No, it's. I think it's awesome.
Well, of course we do.
Cool.
But do your peers think it's cool or so, no? What's it like
so
now?
So that's the point. We have to help them understand that it's super cool. They may just view us as a kind of a bunch of nerds, but if you can provide some sort of way to, I don't know, gamify it, then they would instantly come on board and they would instantly think that, oh, wow, this is something that I could really do.
Yeah. Alexis, for you, and before you answer, like, do your peers think that, like, you're doing cool stuff?
Absolutely not. No. They just think I'm a nerd and they call me when they need, like, tech help. So.
Yep.
I would definitely say just like awareness of the different types of jobs, because people don't really understand what cybersecurity is as a career field. So they don't understand like the different domains and fields, the subfields within cybersecurity. So I think just the awareness that it is a thing, you have a lot of area to move around in.
Yeah. Look, it's not easy for sure. And it's stressful. But if you want a job in this field, the barrier to entry isn't that hard to get started. And it's a good career that will literally last as long as you want to work. So, you know, the more we can do, the better.
One quick question for me.
Please.
I'm the potty pooper.
My questions aren't really that good. You said gamify. I think you said how to get people interested in cybersecurity and computer science. You tell them you're going to hack into their PS5 and turn off their PS5, and then they're going to learn cybersecurity to keep you out of the PS5. But I mean, you know, as funny as that is, everything that we do, and I say we as humans now, is gamified in some way. All the social media is gamified, right? You can swipe 3 seconds, right? So my attention span is longer than your attention span. Right? The older generations, and Josh is the much older generation than
much
me.
Much older.
But our attention span is a lot longer than people your age. You're used to, right, skipping the intro on Netflix. If you want, right? Like, if you even watch, I don't know, you go to YouTube now, but we can't even watch intros anymore to our favorite shows. My 9-year-old has a meltdown when there's a commercial on Hulu. I used to watch commercials because they were commercials. So if you think about gamification, it's embedded in everything we do. How do you gamify cybersecurity? I mean, how do you gamify computer science other than the fact that it builds those games? Since you said gamification, okay, Christian, I'll go to you. How do you think you do that?
How do you gamify it? I think you gamify it by maybe postponing for a short amount of time the fact that there is a very technical corporate aspect. Maybe people like Alexis, like myself, like Natalie, we understand that there is a very technical and rigorous and C-suite involved process to cybersecurity. But if you can get people in front of a keyboard, if you can get people, I mean, you know, cracking hashes, collecting flags, really making them feel like they're accomplishing something in the same way that they can often feel like they're accomplishing something on a sports team or in a video game, they'll be much more incentivized to see whatever they're doing through to the end.
That's really good advice for somebody listening. I tell you what, no, it really is.
And there are already platforms that are doing it very well. People, if anybody is out there and wondering, you know, where do I get started? Platforms like TryHackMe, platforms like Hack the Box, and they're not just about hacking. They're not just going to train you to become an adversary and a bad guy. They also have blue teams, and they're very specific about making this ethical. But they get you in front of a keyboard, and then you're getting system flags, and you can go through their academy, and you learn about all these things that you didn't know about before. And it's a very rewarding process, and I think if we give that reward to people that maybe beforehand thought that they'd just be sitting in front of a console and just sort of smashing their head into a keyboard, they'll be more incentivized to do it.
Yeah, great advice. You know, there was this movement to make work play years ago, and I don't know if that's still in vogue or not. It might be. But that's what we do behind the scenes. I mean, we don't really advertise it to, you know, the whole company, but behind the scenes, we're making it fun, and, you know, we're a bunch of geeks and nerds behind the scenes and having fun and working through these problems. And not to say that it's not stressful at times, and we're up, you know, all weekend, 24/7 and when things happen sometimes. But you do, you make it that, hey, it's the work-life balance is decent in this field. And I think the more that we can kind of communicate that, the better. I do worry about the mental health aspect a little bit because, you know, the adversaries have to be, you know, the quote is the adversaries have to be right once, and we can never be wrong, ever. And that's not exactly true. People shouldn't be afraid. I mean, we have defense in depth, so if one thing fails, another picks up on it. There's alerting. We want to find out about it, not in, you know, a month, a week, or a day. We want to find out hours, minutes, seconds. So it's not as bad as it sounds, but there's definitely some stress involved.
Have you guys seen The Matrix?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about War Games? No. See, and I think about cybersecurity and computer science and artificial intelligence. And back in the old days, our old days, there were these movies and you just went, whoa, I could never believe something like that happening. Now it's happening.
With Matthew Broderick?
Yes.
I love that movie.
Yeah, I should have given you homework to watch War Games if you had.
Around this conversation, it is that you got to go watch that movie, you guys.
Another plug for one movie is a movie called Sneakers that Christian watched. It's a little bit of an oldie right now, but it's the cast is amazing.
Well, there you go. Any other questions for the team here?
I've got no more questions on my slide preparation cards here, but anything anybody else wants to talk about? I mean, I think we're having a great conversation here. I think we kind of shine the light on San Antonio a bit. I mean, you know, you got opportunity that I think it's just amazing. I don't know what percentage of students out there around the country are getting that. I hope it continues to build and build because it's just fantastic.
Well, there you have it, everyone. Another episode of the EdUp Experience. My favorite by far. No offense to you and the team, although that was a good one too. But when we get to talk to students, it just brings in a different element. One of the things that we all have to watch out for is what we're teaching you is what the business world wants. And you have to know that too. Like, you have to go to the business world and say, am I learning what you expect me to learn so that I can get a job with you when I get out of here? And that's been something typically in some areas that higher education hasn't done a good job of staying up to date with curriculum. But in cybersecurity, I guess there's no choice, right? It just has to be new. You have to elevate and innovate. So here you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not supposed to say that anymore, but ladies and gentlemen is stuck in my brain. Alexis, Christian, Natalie, and Josh. From Lucian students. Did you guys have a good time on the podcast today?
Yeah, it was great. Thank you.
All right, not as scary as you thought it would be. You thought you'd sit down and it would be like super intense.
Yeah, this is so much better. Thank you so
much. All right, tomorrow when you're on stage, just remember that it was a little more disarming over here than it will be when you're up there on stage. Remember, everybody,
be excellent to each other.
You've just ed-upped.